If you travel for work, you know to pack two suits, business and swim. You know with your Delta SkyMiles Business Amex card, buying that plane ticket for a business trip can get you closer to medallion status. You know that a meeting in Montana means visiting almost every national park.
Yellowstone? Check.
Because you're the chief excursion officer. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/youknowbusiness.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Cubs Talk podcast brought to you by Wintrust, home of Cubs checking with free ATMs nationwide. Find out more at wintrust.com/cubs. I'm Tony Andracki here with Patrick Mooney, and we're here at Wrigley Field. The news of the day, besides the Cubs coming back from a 9-0 deficit, still dropping a 13-10 loss to the Cincinnati Reds, is John Lester. The Cubs ace was removed from the game after getting five outs Thursday. He was on the way to the doctor after the game and to look at a strained left lat. And I guess it had been impacting him all game. Joe Maddon said his cutter was down to 84 miles an hour. That pitch is usually up in the upper 80s. So all along, Lester just seemed off today. What are your general impressions of this, Pat, and what this means?
Well, we don't know what it means, but when you see John Lester motion towards the dugout, when you see the velocity readings, when you saw him see him walk off the field with an athletic trainer, Joe Maddon doesn't want to jump to conclusions and worst case scenarios, but it's hard to imagine a more important player to this Cubs team. And in a tight division race like this, at a time when the rotation has really fueled this surge coming out of the All-Star break, he's a guy who's been so dependable throughout his career, and you just wonder where the Cubs go from here, and you know how much it will impact a division title that's there for the taking. I mean, now Lester has been so durable throughout his career, that's why he got $155 million from the Cubs, but you've always kind of wondered at what point will he kind of hit that iceberg, and we're certainly not saying that's happening yet. Right around the time where he would normally be doing his post-game breakdown analysis, you know, something that always runs long. He's a really thoughtful guy who, you know, really sees the big picture. He's scheduled to meet with Dr. Stephen Grislo in downtown Chicago. So really a weird series, a weird game, a lot of things going on, but nothing looms bigger over the Cubs right now than that diagnosis on John Lester.
Yeah, and the jarring thing, in addition to the fact that the Reds, you know, kind of teed him up a bit in the radar readings, was the fact that he actually motioned for Maddon and the trainer. That's for a guy, like you said, he's been so durable. He's a gamer. He's a guy that we already saw give up 10 runs in an inning. I think he had another inning or a start where he gave up 7 runs, whatever it was. That was interesting to see that, and that's a clear indication that something was wrong. Moving forward, Mike Montgomery came in and threw, kind of bridged the gap today, really let the Cubs back into the game. He said after the game that he's ready to go if the Cubs need him, but obviously he and everybody else in that clubhouse hopes that Lester's okay, because when you're talking about, you know, potential playoff matchups or even getting to the playoffs, it's really hard to envision the Cubs doing that without John Lester going every 5 days.
Yeah, you could see whether it's Mike Montgomery or, you know, Eddie Butler certainly acquitted himself well and has thrown, performed well back at AAA Iowa, but you just wonder at what point are all these innings going to pile up on Lester. And coming out of the All-Star break, that awful start that you had mentioned against the Pirates, we were talking with him in Baltimore about the Quintana trade and looking back on the first half and looking ahead to the second half, and he was... he said something like, if I was injured, I'd never tell you anyways. And then he laughed it off and said, you know, I'm fine. But he's a realist and has looked at kind of the first day of spring training when pitchers and catchers report as really the only time of the year where a pitcher feels good or feels right, that your health just kind of goes south from there. And a lot about... he views his job as kind of managing the aches and pains and getting through the grind of a season. And he feels like he's doing his job if he gets 30 starts and 200 innings. And he's been remarkable at that in huge markets for iconic teams and staying healthy into the playoffs. And, you know, if you're the Cubs fan right now, you have your fingers crossed, hoping that this is, you know, kind of a more of a minor thing, you know, that they can work through and not that worst case scenario that you fear anytime you give a pitcher a nine-figure contract and watch him, you know, work into his mid-30s.
Yeah, and you know, moving forward too, the Cubs, they're in the midst of a stretch right now where they have 13 straight games against last place teams. It was a stretch that they were hoping that they could gain some ground on the Cardinals, who came in the week pretty red hot. The Brewers are still hanging around. The Pirates they're falling back a little bit now. But, you know, the Cubs have won just two of these four games against Cincinnati. Now Toronto and Miguel Montero come back into town. But, you know, Madden said it himself. He said that we should have won three of these. And I think Cubs fans, you know, any of us watching the game as writers, as scribes, would say the same thing. The Cubs should have won at least three of these games against a last-place team. And, you know, it does hurt to be able to come back from a 9-0 deficit and tie the game only to watch the bullpen kind of blow it up and stuff again. But, that, you know, there was some inspiring play. There's some solid defensive plays. I mean, Javi Baez came out with what would have been the play of the year if the Cubs were able to turn the double play and save a run there. And I think the eighth inning that was. But he had a homer. Ian Happ had a couple homers. And Kyle Schwarber has really come along. He's enjoying hitting in that two spot, it seems like, at least. He's getting on base a ton. But, you know, moving forward, the offense does seem to be kind of hitting its stride right now.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, this division has repeatedly bailed the Cubs out over and over again this season. There has been, you know, a new kind of offensive spark. For all the spectacular defensive plays, you still see some of those lapses that really annoy Madden. So I guess what I'm getting at is that we've watched this team now into the middle of August, and there've been way too many times you just don't know where the Cubs can kind of what the Cubs can hang their hat on. That there's been these inconsistencies, and John Lester over the life of his career has been just about as close to a sure thing as you could hope for. And if you take him, that piece out of the equation, you know, where does that leave the Cubs? Now, John Lackey has, you know, this fountain of youth. You know, he's been able to turn it on in the second
steal some bases,
half.
Even.
Exactly, yeah. You know, you never know. You can't put any limits on John Lackey, of course. But Jose Quintana has kind of slid backwards a little bit after making such a great first impression after that trade with the White Sox. You do see Kyle Hendricks seemingly getting back into the groove, and feel is so important for him after that hand injury sidelined him for far longer than the Cubs initially anticipated. But yeah, it's like, where these young hitters, the growing pains, where are they going to be at by the end of this homestand? And then once we get into a pennant race, and like you said, the bullpen kind of comes and goes. So it's definitely going to be an interesting – you're going to kind of, once again, we said this after the Wilson Contreras injury, kind of find out what the Cubs are made of here.
Yeah, you mentioned Wilson Contreras. That's another part I wanted to bring up. You had said earlier Lester's one of the most important pieces the Cubs can't lose. And we were saying a week ago, 2 weeks ago, that the same exact thing about Wilson Contreras. And now essentially the two most important pieces on the Cubs, both position player and pitching, are down now. And Addison Russell is kind of mysterious. Foot injury is taking a little longer to heal. Like you said, Kyle Hendricks, it looks to be getting back now after that hand injury. But you know, this is the time of the year where every team is dealing with injuries, but the Cubs down, you know, two of their most important players, down an all-star and gold glove shortstop. And then even when they get Addison Russell back, they're not sure what to expect from him offensively or defensively. So there are a lot of question marks moving forward, and not where the Cubs want to be at this point in mid-August. We're going to take a quick break here on the podcast. And when we come back, we're actually going to talk to Hendricks. Patrick had a great interview with Kyle about where he's at right now, how he's feeling, and also a little bit about what Miguel Montero meant to him in his career here in Chicago.
With kickoff rapidly approaching, now is the perfect time to start preparing for the fantasy football season. If you want to dominate your draft, check out the RotoWorld Draft Guide for everything you'll need to get a leg up on the competition. It includes more than 500 player profiles, Evan Silva sleepers and busts, mock draft analysis for six different types of leagues, positional rankings from five of our experts, customizable projections, and much, much more. So head on over to rotoworld.com/draft guide. That's rotoworld.com/draft guide to take your first step towards fantasy football glory.
I'm just curious, as someone who is so routine based, what do you think of American Legion Week, and does it go against kind of all of your first instincts and kind of how you go about your job?
Definitely at first, yeah, it's tough for me to accept, I guess, in a way, you know, just, yeah, I'm used to being here early, getting all my work in. No, but once he implemented it, it's been nice, honestly, just at this time of the year, especially in August. I mean, I know I missed some time, so it doesn't really feel like I'm at this part of the year just for myself personally, but still you can tell for the group, it's just super nice for us to come in kind of a little bit later and still get all our work in. I mean, I'm still coming in, getting all my bullpens, throwing and working out. It's just, you know, no BP every day. There's a lot kind of less going on. It feels pretty low-key around here. So, yeah, it's kind of a nice breather for us just for the week.
As someone who is all about kind of feel and flow, rhythm, it's, where are you at right now, middle of August, in the middle of a, you know, really tight pennant race?
Yeah, it definitely took me a couple coming back from the DL there, but the last one against Cincinnati for sure was the best I've felt so far. Just those few things I've been working on mechanically finally started to click. But, you know, it's just, like you said, I'm such a routine guy. I got to come in here and just solidify it now every single day. Every day I throw, every day I'm out there throwing sides. Just got to make sure these mechanical cues stick. And if I can ride this through August into September, then, yeah, the feel will be there, I think. But I definitely got to keep that feel from this last game.
Justin Graham always something to say. I was wondering how you kind of approached Votto. I mean, he's on this, I think, ungodly run, Madden said. We saw the four outfielder look the other day. I think Madden said it was like that moment in Step Brothers where him and Davey kind of said four outfielders at the same time. What did you think of that look? And obviously you're more of kind of a ground ball guy, but how did you approach, you know, the hottest hitter on the planet right now?
Yeah, he's always probably my favorite at bat, at least one of the top five for me. It's always fun facing him. You know, he's putting together, grinding out every pitch, every AB. He knows what I'm trying to do against him. But yeah, this game here, you just can't let him beat you in this lineup. You know, a guy that good, you got to do anything you can to not let him beat you. So yeah, the other day I walked him twice, but that's not going to kill me. You know, the other at bat I was able to get him out. But I was able to crowd him pretty well and then throw him some good off-speed away off that. But yeah, the four outfield look was pretty pretty surprising. I didn't even know it was going to happen until I was in the dugout and I saw it in, you know, in person, but it was pretty cool. Unfortunately, you know, he didn't quite work out. It would have been perfect if he lined out right to one of them or something, but no, you got to mess around with him. I think, you know, he's such a smart hitter, knows the game. You just got to try and get in his head any way you can, and it's still hard to do that.
I mean, as a pitcher on the mound, you have control over the infield. Is that how it works? So you can kind of call guys off, or how does it play out when you're...
Yeah, we kind of go over it before the game. So with Jonesy, the third base, the infield coach, you know, he kind of polices them, and he puts together all his reports and his info. Comes to the pitchers and kind of says where we're going to position all the players, and we kind of say if we like it or not. But then in game, for sure, we can look back and move guys if we want. If we know we're going to go a different sequence or throw something, try and get them out with one particular pitch, you can move guys around yourself. I don't do a whole lot of it. You know, I really trust the info they get. You know, they do a whole lot of work back there, and they know their tendencies a lot better than I do. But with him, like you said, his tendencies change all the time. He's such a good hitter. He hits balls all field. There is really no tendency. So you just got to move around on him and try and get in his head. Yeah.
One piece of that pitching infrastructure we always talk about is Miguel Montero. He's going back here this weekend with the Blue Jays, and obviously the way it ended was pretty ugly, probably not how he wanted
to be remembered, but you know, he caught you a lot as you were kind of coming on in 2015. What sort of impact did he have, and what was it like working with him?
Yeah, Miggy was huge for me, man. I know he didn't go out the way he wanted to. He's even texted all of us here. I mean, we have the utmost respect for him even around this clubhouse. We know who he is, the teammate he was even around here to us. And for me in particular, I mean, he was probably the biggest influence right when I came up from the catching side. I mean, he taught me a lot about pitching, especially at the big league level, making me feel comfortable at the big league level in a way. He caught me the most, you know, when I first came up. So he really established me, kind of got to establish my game. We talked a lot, you know, those first 1-2 years together. And my development, I think, sped up a lot just because of him being around here. His experience, how much he knew the hitters and his feel, and his ability just to talk to you. You know, he could sit down and just have a conversation with you whenever, talk about baseball. So, yeah, I owe a lot to him, and I'm excited that, you know, to see him back here. Hopefully he's playing.
Because he was always brutally honest, and one of the things I remember him saying to us covering the team was kind of eye-opening in terms of what you could become. He was always kind of talking you up, and that, you know, 97 miles an hour doesn't matter if it's right down the middle, that it's way harder to hit the edges and the way you were kind of sequencing things.
Definitely, yeah. He always had that confidence in me from day one. When I showed up in this clubhouse, he caught my bullpens. He kind of saw what I could do with the baseball. He probably had more confidence in me than I had myself when I first came up. You know, that's just how it is. You're trying to find your footing here in the big leagues when you first get up here. And he just kept preaching that to me also. He kept telling me, you know, what he saw in me, what I could do, the ability I had against these hitters. And then we went out there together and kind of saw it happening. We were able to talk in between innings, that kind of stuff. It was just a fun relationship, fun rapport we had with each other. And, yeah, it was too bad to see him go, obviously, but that's just baseball. That's how it goes. You got to learn what you can from who's around while they're there and then move on. Yeah, that's just nature of the game.
What sort of bond do those guys from the 2016 team have, and what sort of confidence does it give you guys to draw from as we get into September and early October and, you know, maybe the playoffs again?
Yeah, I think all those relationships have really developed. It was tough to see. Last year was a long year, you know, but we grew so close kind of in that time. And we're really seeing it now, I think. It's kind of through these tough stretches. It's been a tough year. It's been up and down. We're, you know, tight race right now. But all the while, I mean, nothing's changed in that clubhouse, especially among the guys. If anything, we've gotten even closer. We just trust and depend on every guy in there, especially the group that's been around here for a long time. But even the guys that get brought in, they're brought in and kind of welcomed in right away, and they all fit in right away with us. It's just a really special group. I don't know, Miggy's obviously still a part of that. Guys that come back still feel a part of that group. We just like seeing those guys, and, you know, it was just such a special run for us. It kind of happened all in a whirlwind. And now that time has passed, kind of you can see that the relationships, just how far they've come. Yeah,
bumped into a friend of mine the other day. He grew up a huge Cubs fan, but he's also a Division I college basketball coach, and he came to some of those playoff games, and his biggest takeaway, more than any sort of fan thing, was just watching guys perform at the highest level and, you know, under unbelievable stress. And I was just wondering, how hard was it to come back from that and kind of get going again? And I think we're maybe starting to see it now with playoff type atmospheres mostly wherever you go.
Definitely. I think it took a lot longer to come back than we expected, especially for some of the young guys, for myself in particular. It was a grind, man. And, you know, like you said, the heightened level of just every single pitch being out there, and especially when you get into the World Series, I mean, just every single game, every single pitch was the heightened excitement, the energy, adrenaline that all went into it. When it all was over, I mean, that feeling of exhaustion, kind of the first part of the offseason, none of us have felt like that, you know, before. So, yeah, it was tough coming back, kind of finding our footing, that aggressiveness, that high level of competition that we were just at, you know. It took a little bit to get back into it. But now I think you're seeing the competitive side, you know, with the tight race. I mean, we've just been scratching and clawing. We've been playing good baseball. We're just getting everybody else's best baseball also this year. You know, last year we had a target on our back. It was a little different. Now that we've done it, teams know they're coming in and they're giving us their best shot, you know. So that's been a little different, but now you can definitely tell kind of the winning ability, the competition level, everything, the engagement in the dugout. Guys are locked in. It's kind of getting to be that time now, and everybody's feeling kind of that feeling that we felt a little bit last year.
Just finally, I mean, Justin Grimm, who interrupted our interview. I remember, I think it was the 2015 playoffs, just kind of bumping into you guys. You guys were just walking out of the stadium totally unnoticed. I remember last year seeing you and your dad across the street on Southport, totally unrecognized. I know you've been asked this Cubs convention, spring training, but how has your life changed and how has it sunk in, you know, knowing that you are part of this team that will kind of live forever in Chicago?
Yeah, now it's been a little while, you know, about a year, and you can definitely tell the changes. I mean, I can still walk around sometimes, maybe not be noticed. I think that's just my personal self, you know, the normal look maybe, not a big personality. But no, it's definitely changed. I mean, I definitely get recognized, and I would never expect to be, honestly. So getting recognized when you're on the streets, when you're with your family, stuff like that, it's just everywhere you go. You know, you walk into a restaurant, people see you, they want to just say hi, congratulations, thank you, things like that. It's really cool to be a part of. And it has sunk in a little bit for some of these guys and for myself also, but I think it's going to take years and years for the full weight of that really to hit us. But just how much fun we've had together with this group, that's the part that I really always fall back on, and it's just fun coming in here every day and still being with those guys.
Keep your money local. Bring it home to a Wintrust Community Bank, home of Cubs checking with free ATMs nationwide. Find out more at wintrust.com/cubs. Members FDIC.
All right, welcome back into the Cubs Talk podcast. Again, I'm Tony Andracki here with Patrick Mooney. And Pat, one of the things that we have been discussing quite a bit, it seems like a daily thing with Joe Maddon, is the bullpen. Which guys are doing well, which guys are available. And right now, the bullpen had to cover 7.1 innings after John Lester left the start with injury. Mike Montgomery ate up a lot of that. But then, you know, we see Justin Wilson. He threw 8 pitches, all of them balls. He has not been right. He has 7 walks now in just over 5 innings since coming over. C.J. Edwards looked really good, talked about his confidence was back. And then he ended up struggling on Wednesday in this series. I think it was Wednesday, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and then Wade Davis has had some issues, some ups and downs. Hector Rondon now lately, Justin Grimm. Where do we go with this bullpen right now?
Well, that's a great question. I think overall you look at bullpens are inherently unpredictable, right? So these slumps, these downturns are going to happen. You know, Justin Grimm was in Iowa. He was out last year, and then all of a sudden he came on and was kind of trusting the World Series. Rondon and Strope, two of the, you know, best setup guys, you know, on paper, were outside the circle of trust come October. Obviously dealing with injuries last year. So to me, I'm really curious about Justin Wilson, a guy that the Cubs really had targeted, that we were wondering maybe he'd be next year's closer, put up awesome numbers for a bad Detroit team in the American League, and clearly just hasn't quite had it. It's been a lot of inherited runner scoring, the kind of tack-on run that kind of deflates the Cubs in the late innings. And Alex Avila, who obviously played with him in Detroit, said, you know, he's never seen Wilson at a place like this ever as far as command. And he also said, I expect him to get it back, and he does have a track record. But yeah, I think those relievers are kind of like offensive linemen, right? You only notice them when they are penalties or they miss a block. And it's kind of this way, you know, C.J. Edwards was just lights out during the beginning of the year. Wade Davis still is lights out, but, you know, they just kept racking up scoreless inning after scoreless inning, and we never really talked to them after games. And then all of a sudden when they mess up, it's like, whoa, what's going on here? And C.J., it has been, you know, a couple of outings there where even he admitted, we'll hear from him pretty soon, where he felt like he lost confidence and is slowly trying to get it back. So clearly there's a lot of time for this bullpen to get back into order, but I know the Cubs really liked how the bullpen was coming together with Mike Montgomery in that role, giving him, they thought were going to be 3 reliable lefties. When you talk about Wilson, is Brian Dunston going to come back down to earth a little bit? And are they going to be stressed if they don't have John Lester giving them, you know, 7 innings every 5 days? So clearly, what you thought was a strength once the trade deadline hit on July 31st has become a far bigger weakness than I think anyone thought at that point.
Yeah, and one of the guys that we haven't even mentioned yet is Koji Uehara, the 42-year-old, right, yeah, who, you know, is on the DL as well. And he was a very valuable guy. He was, you know, Madden couldn't really use him on back-to-back days, but when he was available, he was able to get righties and lefties out, a guy that hardly ever walks anybody. So, right now the Cubs are just kind of searching for it. But Madden did remind everybody after Thursday's game that the Cubs are still second in the National League in bullpen ERA. And a lot of that, you know, by virtue of such a hot start to the season, Hector Rondon was in such a good stretch there for a while, has given up a few runs lately. But Pedro Strop, I think he gave up one run this week, but, you know, up until that, he had only given up one run dating back to, like, the first week of June. So, it's just kind of a roller coaster. Some guys up, some guys down. Right now, Pedro Strop and Brian Dunsing are some of the guys that are up. You know, Rondon kind of down, C.J. Edwards figuring it out. But Edwards was the main part. He was a guy that the Cubs thought might be like their Andrew Miller type of weapon coming out of the bullpen, a guy that they really can unleash after last year. They refused to use him on back-to-back days, were interested in saving his arm. And, you know, he talked really well on Tuesday night after he had a strong outing. And he said, like, his dad has been texting him all the time. He feels like his confidence is back. And then comes out Wednesday and gives up a two-run homer. So things are – he's not all the way back, but, you know, what have you seen from him lately? Do you think it's just he's taken steps in that direction at least?
Well, I think I wrote about this the other day, and, of course, this is the shelf life with the bullpen right now. Yeah. It was like the C.J. Edwards' backstory, and then, like, a couple hours later, he wasn't back. But I think there's so much to work with here if you're the Cubs, that to someone who's done it in a pennant race before, in the playoffs, a lot of swing and miss stuff, great composure, a great personality. It really comes through here when you hear him talking to the group, and just this kind of feel for pitching that he said he developed with his dad, and an internal drive that I think it was a 48th round pick, yeah, which is a round that I think doesn't exist anymore. I think that's probably
it hasn't for a few years.
Okay, yeah. So, guy with a ton of upside, still can be that Andrew Miller guy, ton of strikeouts, multiple innings, kind of long, loose athleticism. But you forget that how young this guy is, and really it's, when you look at every phase of the Cubs right now, it's glass half full or glass half empty. That, you know, are they? Is it a good sign that they're in this position, still in first place with all these things that have gone wrong, or is the bottom going to finally fall out that they've let all these other teams hang around this long and they have all these kind of nagging inconsistencies that still, in the middle of August, haven't corrected themselves yet?
Yeah, and let's actually hear from CJ talk about the impact his dad has made and how he's trying to get his confidence back.
Just, I had to set my mentality to possibly go out there and just go for a double play ball. I mean, I gave up that one run, you know, like we got two outs for one. I think we were ready to take that at the time of the game. And it kind of takes me back, reminiscing from last year, being put in those type situations. And I actually feel a lot comfortable in there.
Is it the mentally, everything's on top, or is it physically? What's making it work now?
I think it's more mental than anything. The thing is, I will not ever get in my head, just because I know this game is very humbling. I can look good for 30 straight appearances, and then all of a sudden, four or five, four or five big games, I could be hurt again. But I just look at it, just going out there and having fun. I just had to make it, like I say, simple, better, and just make the game, you know, much simpler than overthinking.
Is the fact that you've had great experiences, and that when you've had this little bit of a rut, that you're comfortable, you're confident that you could get it back?
Yes, regardless of how, you know, I may pitch, if, like, those couple outings I had was bad or whatever people call it, I knew in the back of my mind that I would get over it, because I'm a strong mind guy. And it was, I mean, It wasn't nothing physically. It was just, I don't know how I lost confidence, but I lost it some kind of way. And right now I'm just slowly getting it back, and I'm feeling a little more comfortable going out there every day.
How long does it take to get that confidence back to where you want it to be?
Well, coming out the bullpen, it has to come back quicker than anything because I don't have 5 days to rest. Just going out there, and I mean, a big thing has been my dad sending me messages. So, sending me prayer and meditating messages every day, telling me to pray and meditate. So, he knows me like a book. So, just getting those words from him, and you know, saying those messages before I go out to the game, and you know, taking that message with me, knowing that no matter what happens, you know, I'm here for a reason.
What was that feeling when you had that last strikeout? What was going on?
Oh, a lot. Just because, I mean, at that time it was, you know, 0-0 game. And, I mean, I was just trying to do something to get our team into it. And I felt like with me getting excited and coming off the mound like that, it got the crowd into it and also got our team into it. And that's my only thing is, my biggest thing is make sure, like, if I come into the game and I want to give my team as much boost as possible, where they go out there after a big inning or just a shutdown inning, where you know they come out and you know swing the bat like they're supposed to.
Thank you. Did you have that new from your dad, or has he always done that throughout your career at different points?
He's always done that. Just you know, at that time I was struggling real bad, so he told me every day, just like, hey, let's go back to backyard baseball and. And we're going to say, hey, make sure you say your prayer, make sure you meditate. And he said, just know, son, you're there for a reason. And no matter what the outcomes is, you know, I'm going to still love you regardless. And, I mean, that's just my dad being my dad. He's basically, you know, taught me pitching since growing up. So he's basically the one that knows me the best.
One last thing just about Kyle tonight. You got to watch him. That's the best outing he's had since the DL. You can see his confidence gaining. What did you see from him?
I seen a competitor, Kyle, that we seen last year. Like you say, you know, it's been iffy just because of the DL stuff, but that stuff is over with. He's back to the Kyle Hendry we know, the professor. Basically he can hit a net on the ass, just to be honest, because, the pitches he was throwing tonight was, you know, it was the same three pitches in that same spot, and that's the Kyle that everybody knows, and I think he'll take this right here and he'll ride this wave on out.
All right, that'll do it for our Cubs Talk podcast this week. Again, we are brought to you by Wintrust, home of Cubs checking with free ATMs nationwide. Find out more at wintrust.com/Cubs. You can find all of our podcasts at csnchicago.com/podcast or subscribe on Apple Podcasts. We are also available on Google Play, Stitcher, and Audio Boom. Tune in next week.
If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know, after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used, because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.